The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you ready to start living and creating your life from possibility, joy, and ease? What if every day could be a miraculous adventure? Welcome to Creating Beyond Reality Radio. Join us for a dynamic conversation of creation and possibility. Now, here is our host, creatress of magnitude, Heather Nichols.
Welcome, everybody, to Creating Beyond Reality Radio. This is Heather Nichols, and we're here this week to talk about creating beyond mental health diagnosis. A really cool, different, interesting take on mental health and addiction and wrongness in general, with the amazing Marilyn Bradford. Marilyn is an access consciousness facilitator. She is a therapist, a teacher, a speaker. She is a creator of Right Recovery for You, which is a specialty class in access consciousness, and has really just created so much change in the world of addiction and mental health, with a totally different perspective of really getting out of the disempowering and points of view of that there's something wrong with you when you have a mental health diagnosis or when you have addiction, and looking instead at what's right about you that you may not be getting. So I am really excited and grateful that you're here, Marilyn. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here, too. And I know, Heather, you have a background maybe years ago, but you have a solid background in counseling. So
yeah,
we're going to be on the same page with a lot of it.
Yeah, right? I mean, it is like such a world of wrongness. And I know for me, I didn't even really realize that that whole world was created around looking at what was like getting people to look at what needed to be changed and fixed about them in order to have a better life and have more happiness and all of that. And so finding access for me was just such a gift to actually go, wow, truly. And still, the 7 years in, it's like, yeah, what if there's still nothing wrong with me? You know, what if there's nothing
exactly
wrong with anybody?
You know, it's interesting. One of the questions I have done a lot of work with addiction, although I have a much broader definition of it than most people think of alcohol and drugs. And I really think of it as any place people default to not exist, to go on automatic pilot, to not be present. So people can be addicted to being the best mom in the world or to trauma drama or to almost anything. But one of the questions, going back to what you started with, I always ask my clients if they come in and they go, I'm an alcoholic, I'm addicted to gambling. I'm like, well, what's right about it you're not getting? They're like, that's a great access question. They're like, what are you talking about?
Right.
And I'm, well,
nothing.
You know, all behavior is purposeful. You wouldn't be doing this if there wasn't some great contribution it had in your life. And I had one client who was like, I'm drinking 2 bottles of wine a day, and I feel bad, and I hate alcohol's the devil. And I'm like, I kept asking, you know, what's right about this? What contribution is alcohol to you? And she began talking about, well, you know, I go out after dinner and have my wine on the patio and everybody knows not to disturb me, so I get free time. What else is right about it? Well, it helps me not look at the fact that I don't know how to deal with my marriage that's falling apart. What else is right about it? Well, we're having financial difficulties and I don't want to look at that. What else is right about it? I need to fire the nanny and I don't know how to fire people. I'm bad at confrontation. And we went on and on, and there were 8 things that were right about it that were actually a contribution. I'm like, look, until we can find some other ways of dealing with these things that you're having difficulty dealing with, like confrontation, how could you possibly give up alcohol? Let's see what else we can do here. It's a huge contribution in your life. It's just that no one ever assisted you, empowered you with the skills to find other ways to deal with problems.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know.
That's amazing.
Which is very
I guess I stopped really doing therapy. I mean, I had sort of slowed down with it anyway when I had my kids, and then when I found Access shortly thereafter, just started doing this work. So I haven't really had that, like, these types of conversations in a therapy practice. But I have had them with lots of people, and I can imagine what it would be like for somebody to come in having a mental health diagnosis or an addiction, you know, what they consider to be an addiction problem or whatever is going on, you know, and like coming in and thinking that they're going to be chatting with your standard therapist, you know, and then have you go, but what's right about it? And what's right about you? It's like so
Exactly. Refreshing. Well, one of the things that I've discovered, because I still have a small therapy practice, mostly via Skype and stuff, and then I have an Access practice, you know, but there are people that just want to, they want a better adjustment to this reality.
Yeah.
And I sneak in tools. But the thing that I've discovered, and I'm sure you have too, is just how much traditional therapy imposes fixed solutions on top of people. It's almost like, all right, we're going to have the object relations grid thrust down upon you, or we're going to have rational emotive therapy, you know. But what they don't do in general is really ask questions, which of course is the basis for Access. But to me, it's the basis for creating anything. So that when someone comes in and they go, I'm depressed, I'm like, how do you know? They're like, what do you mean? How do you know you're depressed? Well, I feel bad every day. Who else feels bad in your family? Could you be mimicking that? I don't always say, who does that belong to right away?
Yeah.
But it's really about, instead of taking pathology at face value, it's really about getting people to question all the decision, judgments, and conclusions they've made about what's going on with them. And that could be something like, I'm depressed because my father died. Seriously? Really? How do you know it's about your father? But if you take that at face value, you can't assist them in moving beyond that, because, your father died, of course you're depressed. What if it's really that she's happy her dad died because he was such a jerk and abused her, but she can't say that, and she can't even really admit it to herself? Or what if it's something completely different?
Yeah.
You know, so it's so much about questioning everything and getting them to question.
Well, yeah, and because anytime you have a fixed point of view about anything and what's going on, you're basically, the only thing that you can see is something that matches that. And so you have to go down this very narrow rabbit hole, you know, of like, oh, okay, well, you're like, you say you're depressed, well, you must be depressed. And let's look at all the reasons why you're depressed, and let's fix that, you know. And it's like, there's this whole other thing going on, you know, and you have no idea. Because there isn't a curiosity of like, well, what could it be, you know, and what might you be aware of, and what might you know, or what, you know, who does it belong to? Like all of that stuff where you just start to go, I always call it like zooming out, like going, like zooming out with what you're looking at, so that you get to have like a much bigger point of view and perspective and curiosity around what's actually up for somebody, that allows it to change so much faster.
Well, and you brought up something really important, which is what do you know? Because even though, And I'm not saying that they're not good therapists out there, or that they're not therapists that really do make an effort. There's some great ones out there. I would say that I wish they had the Access tools so that they could move, you know. more into question. But the other thing is this whole emphasis on we are the authority and mm-hmm. you are the patient, which means we do to you yeah. and you must respect us and what we say has got to be true versus what do you know? Yeah. You know, so, and that's a really, really, that's a difference. And really what we're talking about, all of these are operating beyond this reality of therapy yeah. in the sense that they're all, quote, breaking the rules or putting forth a completely different picture or paradigm of what's possible. I mean, I have a neighbor. I have a neighbor who, let's just say, they take what the doctors and the psychiatrists and the therapists say as absolute gospel.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to have a conversation because she knows I'm a yeah. therapist. And she wants to keep telling me, well, you know, he said I definitely had this. And I'm like, how do you know? She's like, what do you mean? How do I do? So I've just quit yeah. going there.
Because that's not a relevant question in my world.
Yes, exactly. It's not a paradigm that she can have. And that's okay, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever
yeah.
works for her is what works for her.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's such a radical space to function from, of, you know, what do you know? We like you, like empowering people to know that they know, which is the, you know, one of the taglines of Access Consciousness. And it's like, I was actually having a conversation on another radio show this morning about parenting and, we're talking about how my, like I've really raised my kids from that point of view of what do you guys mm-hmm. know, you know? And, my youngest, was had this big blow up in his preschool and he really created it. Like he didn't like it there and he wanted to get out and you know, that wasn't what he was saying, but it ended up being this like thing where we had to pull him out of the school and when it was time to put him into kindergarten, you know, we hadn't even gone to see the schools. And I just said to him, you know, he was whatever, 5 or 4.5 or whatever. And I just said, okay, so do you want to go to this school or that school? You know, and he was like, I want to go to that school. And I'm like, okay, you know, and it was also kind of what I was leaning toward. But it was just so like, I let my 4.5-year-old decide where to go to kindergarten sight unseen, you know, and that's just totally like, irresponsible as a parent to, you know, like to let a little child make a decision so big about, you know, like what elementary school are they going to go to, about themselves and their life. But it was, I knew I just saw him as an infinite being and I trusted his awareness. And, and it also like matched what I was aware of. But it was really like, hey, you know more about you than I do. And what would it be like if we all functioned from that with everybody, you know, whether it's your child or a partner or a friend or a client or, you know, whether you're a therapist or like, what do you know about you that you know, like, you know more about you than anybody. It doesn't matter if you're 6 months old or 85 or anything in between.
Exactly. I think that's wonderful what you did. And I really do. Like, what do you know? What would you like to create and choose? And one of that whole what do you know, I found in my practice that the more I work with that, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that being not ever being acknowledged for what you know creates depression or anxiety, but my sense is there's a huge connection between them because we're amazing beings.
Yeah.
And if a child is never taught to know what they know or that they are valuable in the sense that they are a unique being who does know what's right for them, mm-hmm. I really do believe it contributes to depression and anxiety. I've worked with a number of people, and this was sort of right in the beginning of when I was doing Access, but just take one absolutely brilliant woman who really wanted to get a job, but she was in a very traditional ethnic family and was very depressed, and there was this absolute suppression of her being and what she knew to be true. In other words, your husband has the points of view you need to adopt. You can't know anything but what he tells you. And your job is to stay home. And I'm not making that wrong. And it created enormous depression for this woman. And as we began to work with, what do you mean, what do I know? I said, what would be fun for you? What would you like to do? You're clearly absolutely brilliant, because she did go to college and a little bit of graduate school. And as we worked with that, the depression completely lifted. So,
that's so cool.
You know,
yeah, it's amazing. It really is amazing to see what changes in people's worlds when they get, I mean, it's like the biggest thing, the biggest change is when you stop seeing yourself as wrong or insufficient or inferior or not knowing, the whole world opens up to us in terms of what, like the joy that we can have and the space and the ease and the relaxation and the creation. It's like, it's just... I'm like, oh my God, it's so simple. And yet, you know,
how can
there's
you
a lot of unwinding from this reality that sometimes has to happen.
Oh, absolutely. How can you create from a space of being wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't.
You can't.
How can you create if you've never been told that you know what you know, that you know that you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. We are actually at our first break. So we're going to pause just for a moment and be back shortly. This is Heather Nichols here with Marilyn Bradford on Creating Beyond Reality Radio.
This is the home of the top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success drivers. The Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Have you always wondered what it would be like to have more fun, ease, joy, and success in your business? What if your business could be more fresh, vibrant, and thriving every day? Heather Nichols' Generative Business Pods program is a six-month business creation intensive of embodying question, choice, possibility, and contribution as the main elements for creating a dynamically different and wildly successful business. What if exponential growth in your business and income could come from being more of you? Find out more at heathernichols.com/businesspods.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up?
Where can you listen to some of the world's top life coaches ready to dish out success tips and entrepreneurial guidance? The Voice America Empowerment Channel will do just that. Whether it's personal growth, building a better business, or inspirational life stories, make it a daily habit to tune into our programs. From weight loss and personal branding to law of attraction and increased happiness, you'll find it every day at VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to Creating Beyond Reality with Heather Nichols. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to heather@heathernichols.com. That's heather@heathernichols.com. Now, back to Creating Beyond Reality.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Heather Nichols here this week with Marilyn Bradford talking about creating beyond. Beyond, actually just beyond the wrongness of you, beyond diagnoses and all the points of view that there is or ever was anything wrong with you. And I want to actually talk a little bit about addiction specifically, Marilyn. That is one area where I just, it's been so cool to see the gift that Right Recovery for you has been and the tools of access have been with this really, I mean, addiction is such a, it's such a judged, heavily, heavily judged area of mental health. And, you know, people that, you know, the 12-step programs are really designed around like, you are wrong and you always will be wrong. And I am wrong and I still am wrong and I always will be wrong. And, what lightens up in people's worlds and what opens up when they get, when they actually really start to entertain the point of view and have the point of view that there isn't anything wrong. So I'd love to just hear what you, what do you want to share about that?
When I first began using the access tools with my clients, many of whom had addictions, I noticed that they were getting better faster. So I approached Gary Douglas, the founder of Access, and said, hey, can we do something with this? And he's like, yeah, and we created Right Recovery for You, and he downloaded just enormous amounts of information to me. About a year into it, and I was using, you know, the questions and just changing the paradigm, I realized that there were primary and secondary addictions. And the secondary addictions were all of the things like gambling and sex and relationship and having to have the perfect body. And but the primary addiction was to judgment and the wrongness of self. And that just opened up so much for my clients, for myself, for because, you know, there's this whole thing about relapse. You know, well, I've been sober for 3 months, but then I relapse, and I don't know why. I don't know what happened. Well, if underlying the drinking of the alcohol or the overspending or the having affairs or shop, whatever it is a sense of self-judgment and wrongness, you're bound to relapse. How can you not? Because that is so painful and so antithetical to who we are as beings. It's just like a constant barbed wire wrapped around you. And what I found was, with a lot of people, when we cleared that hole, when we just worked, we didn't look at what the addiction was particularly, except I do tell people, hey, folks, if you're doing drugs, get a different addiction. Because, I mean, seriously, it's illegal.
I love
it's
that.
And you don't
what
know
therapist
what you're getting.
Does that? That's awesome.
Exactly. <Sorry. laughs> You know, it just, it'll get you in hot water. You know, choose something else. But that as we worked with, and I never, ever, ever tell anybody, oh, you need to stop that or anything like that. I'm like, let's work with this judgment thing. And as we work with that, and people come into, you know, the piece we were looking at earlier, the knowing that they can know what they know, and that all judgment is arbitrary, and that's something I tell people right up front. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you know, walk down the street and look at a car. You might say, gosh, that's a really fabulous car. Somebody else would say, oh, yuck, I would never want to drive a car like that. And someone else might say, well, you know, it wouldn't be a great family car. But the point is, they're all arbitrary points of view and judgments. Judgment is never real. When you can get people to see that judgment is never real, it can create so much ease for them.
So how do you, like, I so get that. Like, it's like, God, it really is just a lie. It's all just a lie. Like, you're just making it up, you know?
Right.
And yet, that is such a, it's a huge leap for people to go, right, like, I'm actually, this whole reality that I've created in my mind about me in regards to me, you know, is actually not real. And so how do you, what tools can you give people to start to play with that, like having that as their point of view and their reality?
Well, it is a huge leap. And I want to say just a little bit more about that, because the way we grow up in this reality, we create our identities through our judgments and through other people's judgments. So I always give people what I call like a little handle to hold on to. I'm like, look, this is a big deal, and I get that. Don't be hard on yourself. Don't use it to beat yourself up. This is how we all create our identities. And sometimes I'll give an example from my own. You know, I grew up in an academic family. There were huge judgments about business. I had to work really hard in Simone's classes of Joy of Business to destroy and create all of these judgments that I'd grown up with about how wrong and low-class business was. And I'm like, thank heavens for Joy of Business. And I know you're a facilitator of that, too. It really changed my world. So a lot of what we do is we work with one thing at a time, kind of. You know, like, what's one judgment we could look at that you might be willing to change or give up? And you sort of, you create that building upon that experience for them, kind of. So, you know, what's one thing about yourself that you've been judged for? And why do you think people would create that judgment? And how else could we look at that? Now, someone will say, you know, well, I'm selfish. That's okay. They'd say, that's a fact. I'm like, no, actually, that's a judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I might say something like,
but everybody has told me that it's a fact my whole life, so it must be.
Exactly. Or I'll say something like, what if being selfish was a good judgment, not a bad judgment? You're like, what do you mean? How could it be good? And we'll talk about that. And the point is, you're putting in little tiny, tiny wedgelets or questions that will get them to look at things in a different way so that they can begin to see it. Obviously, it doesn't do any good to lecture anybody, or you know, but then they can begin to see, oh, wow, you know, maybe selfish is a good thing, and what is selfish anyway? And if I'm choosing for me or for all of us, what? You know, generally speaking, selfish is that you're not doing what the other people want you to do for them.
You're not controllable.
You're not controllable
with my
exactly.
judgments.
Exactly.
You're selfish.
So that's partly. But Gary brought up a really interesting thing at the advanced body class in Houston, which was that he was talking about, so it's sort of going even beyond that, that the primary addiction is to the invalidation of being. And I was like, wow. You know, which is ties in with all of this and what we were talking about earlier with really empowering people to know that they know. And, you know, another thing that we do know is to, you know, this reality tells us that your feelings are all important. And, you know, working with clients and going, what if feelings didn't actually matter? What if they were arbitrary too? What if they were an excuse not to be present and aware of what's actually going on?
Yeah.
So in a lot of ways, what, and I'll get back to addiction too, but what Right Recovery does, because it all, it goes to all areas of mental health, is to actually facilitate people in challenging every belief system they've had in a way that's not too fast or difficult for them. And, you know, if they want to stop, we stop. I don't want to go. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to look at my religion. I don't want to look at my parents. Okay, cool. We won't look at that. Not a problem.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's all about that sense of self-determination. But the thing with addiction is, and it's interesting, I had an awareness this morning that it's so much about a sense that there's no possibility for a future that's going to be viable for me or whomever. So why not get out? I once had an amazing conversation with this about 5 years ago with a woman in Access and her son who'd basically been brought up in Access. And he was in high school and he had a lot of friends who were using pot. And he knew I didn't have a point. I wasn't going to say that's a bad thing. But I asked him if I could ask some questions. And he and his mom and I just sat around and I said, so what is it? Because he had a whole group of friends and he was actually almost like the one who made sure nobody got into trouble, you know. He said, look, you know, we go to school, and he went to some fancy school in a fancy city or big city and private school, and we're told this is reality, deal with it. And they tell us, don't do drugs, and we see our parents sitting outside having three martinis and smoking cigarettes, and they're all telling us the only thing you need to do is get into college and you know, and you need to get good SATs. He said, like, I don't want to live in that world.
Yeah.
And it wasn't suicidal. It was just nobody had given these kids any sense that they could create a reality beyond this reality. And they were all turning to drugs. And my sense, I've worked a lot with in the gay community because, you know, it's all word of mouth. Someone comes in and says, well, you know, she's good. And she's, you know, she doesn't have a point of view. So you get. But a lot of that was the sense that there couldn't be, because when they were growing up, for sure, these are people mostly in their 40s, 50s. You know, they were bullied and ridiculed and humiliated, and they couldn't see a future where they could have the ease and joy and what was right for them. So there's a lot of drug and alcohol use in the gay community. Hopefully it's slowing down by now. But so some of it is just helping people see that they can create a different future, a future that's actually going to work for them. And how do you do that? You need some tools. You need to even know that that's possible. But you know, that's an element of addiction that most people don't ever address. They look at it as something biological, you know, or chemical or in the brain. And they're like, well, you know, science says, well, the excess body processes and bars can turn around all kinds of things. I mean, I was diagnosed as an alcoholic and I had all of the symptoms. I had blackouts. I couldn't stop. I had it all. And I was actually, quote, sober. I never had a problem once I chose not to drink, but I did go to 12-step for a while. And then by the time I got to Access, it was like, oh, wait a minute. All this is changeable. And it was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I did lots of body processes, and now I can have a glass of wine or not. It doesn't matter. It's not relevant.
And it's really, it's about the change rather than the controlling. Like, that's what I've seen from, you know, the exposure that I've had to 12 steps and people that I know that have played with that. It's like, it is about this, like, setting up control systems and, you know, which of course judgment is a huge, that's what judgment does for so many people is they use it to control them and each other. As we mentioned before, but really, like, getting under control rather than, like, oh no, there's a whole, there's a completely different universe here that's possible. You know, and I would love to, we're coming up to our next break, but one of the things that really fascinates me too about the, well, mental health in general and addiction, I know this is part of addiction too, is the levels of awareness that people have when they have addiction and when they have mental health diagnoses. Like, a lot of times there's a huge amount of awareness that isn't acknowledged in this reality. And, you know, nobody's talking about, and it's so difficult to like deal with in a way for people that they turn to, you know, they either develop mental illnesses or they turn to, addictions and that sense of wrongness of them.
I mean, one of the huge tools for addiction is who does this belong to, which is not something, and to deal with this heightened awareness, because we're never told that these thoughts, feelings, and emotions that you're having are not actually yours. Yeah. I once worked with a woman. She came in for alcohol addiction, and after 6 weeks, nothing was changing, which didn't happen with me if you come in and really want to work, and I could tell she did. You know, and so finally I said, wait a minute, whose alcoholism is it anyway? She said, oh, it's my mother's. And she never had another issue with alcohol.
Oh my God, that's amazing. That's so cool. I love that tool. It's such a game changer if you really are willing to have it. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
That's so cool. Well, we're at our second break, so we're going to just pause one more time and we will be back very shortly. This is Heather Nichols here with Marilyn Bradford on Creating Beyond Reality Radio.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
Have you always wondered what it would be like to have more fun, ease, joy, and success in your business?
What if your business could be more fresh, vibrant, and thriving every day? Heather Nichols' Generative Business Pods program is a six-month business creation intensive of embodying question, choice, possibility, and contribution as the main elements for creating a dynamically different and wildly successful business. What if exponential growth in your business and income could come from being more of you? Find out more at heathernichols.com/businesspods.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at vapresspass.com. That's vapresspass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live, and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Live up to your full potential. You've heard that for years, but now there's a channel to help you get there. Introducing the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Get motivated, hear about success stories, and positive encouragement. The Voice America Empowerment Channel is the home of the world's top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success experts. Listen to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Creating Beyond Reality with Heather Nichols. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to heather@heathernichols.com. That's heather@heathernichols.com. Now, back to Creating Beyond Reality.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here this week talking to Marilyn Bradford about creating beyond mental health, addiction, mental health diagnoses, addiction, and all other things that people have decided are terribly wrong about themselves and each other. And we were just touching on a little bit more on addiction and how there's just so much awareness that actually people that have addiction just so many of us have lots of awareness that we don't acknowledge, it's not something that's talked about in this reality, and we make it wrong and we make ourselves crazy as a result. And we were talking at the break too, just about a few other things. So Marilyn, what, in terms of this topic, what other just pieces of information and awareness would you like for people to have, just to have a different perspective on this and perhaps more space?
Well, there are a couple of things that come up. One is something that Access calls destructor implants, and the other is entities. So I'll start with destructor implants. One of the things that I guess it was Gary became aware of was things like anger, rage, fury, hate, blame, shame, regret, and guilt are all actually things that are implanted into us in order to be able to control us. And a lot of that comes up with addiction, so that you have people who are really angry or who are really regretful, or they have a lot of blame, shame. Maybe they blame themselves. Maybe they blame others, because there's a section of people with addictions who actually lash out at others. It's sort of the opposite thing. But I always talk with my clients about how, I'm like, when you were a tiny baby, did you have shame or blame or regret? Or were you just being? And I often say to people, go, if you're around infants, notice them. They're wonderful little manipulators. They're not going, oh, I don't want to bother mom now because she's really busy. It's like, hey, babe.
That's awesome.
So if you can get people to see that these things are not real, they're things that have been implanted into them in order to control them, then they can see how other people use them. And like people, we use anger to control people. Rage, absolutely. So that's something that I found is really helpful for people and gives them a sense of space. Wait a minute, this isn't mine.
Yeah.
This is something that was put into me. And I therefore have choice. And we haven't mentioned choice yet, which is insane for you and me to not mention choice because it's so prevalent in all of this.
Yeah.
But what I always attempt to empower people to see is that they have choice. There's always a choice. And that they actually may even have created some of these issues to get certain things accomplished. I mean, we talked about the woman, you know, what's right about your alcoholism, but also things like maybe it's the only way they can get attention, or maybe they need to get away from a domineering something, whatever, you know. Well, she's depressed. Well, she has anxiety attacks. You can't put too much stress on her. I mean, we do create these for a variety of reasons because we don't have other tools.
Yeah.
So if you can begin to see that you have choice, that you've created what's going on in your life, and I don't push that too hard for people when they first come in because that's like, I wouldn't create anything that horrible. But, you know, once again, it's always sort of the gentle touch and seeing what they can handle, what works for them and what doesn't, because I want all clients to have choice.
Yeah.
So,
well, and the thing about choice that, like, that conversation to me is really valuable to get is that I was just talking about this on my another show that I this is my third radio show today, but is that it actually when we realize that we have like it's not a popular conversation to go. If you have addiction or mental illness or, you know, an illness in general, like something that's not so fun going on in your life, that you've chosen it, like that's not a popular point of view. And, you know, people tend to have a fair amount of resistance around that. But to me, what I look at with that is that if I decide that I was put by some sort of external, you know, force other than my own choice into a situation, whether it's an illness or a mental illness or an addiction or a bad relationship or if I decide that there's something other than my choice that had me, that put me there, then I actually am stuck. Like if it wasn't me that put myself there, then I actually can't get myself out of it. So it's actually a very disempowering point of view in a way. And I like to just bring that up as a different way of looking at that. It's like, if you acknowledge that you have chosen whatever it is, it's not about being wrong and going, yeah, I'm a fuck up, I did this or whatever, but actually go, wow, this is something that I've chosen. And like you were saying in the beginning, like there's value to it. We choose things because they are valuable in some way to us, you know, whether we think they would be or not. If you acknowledge that you have chosen it, then you actually are the one you're holding the keys, you know, to choose your way out of it and into a different reality. And that's the great news about that conversation is that you're not actually a victim of anything, which means that you can change anything. And otherwise, you're kind of stuck. So.
No, that's absolutely right. And that's a conversation I always have with my clients. Look, if you chose into it, you can choose out of it. You just didn't have the tools. You didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
So let's choose something greater. It's a wonderful conversation for people. Absolutely.
And if you start to see what is the value of the things that you've chosen that you wouldn't think, you know, we always say, like, not my best choice or, you know, not my, like, good thing I'm cute, not bright or whatever, you know.
Right.
Be able to sort of chuckle at yourself or, you know, have a really good belly laugh or whatever. But it just creates this space, you know, for something, you know. Just it's like if you go, oh wow, that's actually like this is what the purpose that served for me. Okay, great. Then, you know, What can I create that's actually going to give me so much more of what I'd like to have that's not a destruction of me and my life, you know, and exactly. with different tools and different awareness and all of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a really, really important one. And that opens, I mean, the difference between life happens to me and I choose and I create is huge.
Yeah.
It's just huge. Yeah.
Really huge.
And so one other thing I wanted to mention, and that is entities, and that's kind of an odd topic. But what are entities? Well, we're all an entity. I mean, a book is an entity. It's an energy with an identity, basically. But when we're talking about entities and addiction, particularly, it's also relevant in depression and things. What does that really mean? When I first started looking at entities, I thought, how am I going to introduce this to people? And one of the things I did was I Googled, and this was just for America. I haven't Googled it in a while, but well over 50% of people in America express some belief in entities. So that could be something mm-hmm. like an angel or a spirit guide. Or people have had experiences, you know, their father died and all of a sudden he's there at the end of their bed. And I, you know, in the middle of the night. And I always tell people, you don't have to believe, you don't have to believe anything I say, please. However, particularly with the addictions like alcohol and drugs and sometimes gambling, a lot of times what happens is when you put some kind of drug like that or some intense process, you're participating in that, you sort of put a for rent sign on your body.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hello, vacant body, I'm over here on meth. And sometimes, and this is what I've noticed, sometimes disembodied beings, and often with drugs and alcohol, it's a being that overdosed from drugs or alcohol, and they don't really know they're like, oh, look, that's an energy I relate to. Let me go get in this body. But they can create havoc with people. So if people are receptive to it, I help them clear these entities so that they can basically have themselves back and they don't have to be at the effect. And I have a lot of stories, which we don't really have time to go into with that. But it's just something to ask questions about and be aware of. It's not like entities cause addiction. But it
right.
is, if you're doing heavy drugs and alcohol or really intensely vacating yourself, you sort of leave the door open. If you want to look at it like just other energies, I mean, you leave a house vacant for a while, guess what? All kinds of weird stuff starts to happen to the house. Well, the same is true for you and your body and your being.
Yeah.
So you really, addiction is about not existing, about vacating yourself. You really want to look at that and what the value of that has been for you. And what would it be like? Oh, I just thought of something else we haven't mentioned. I go, we could talk about this. We could talk about this. And that is body. Traditional treatment, whether it's for addiction or traditional therapy, almost never addresses the body. And if a person, we're here with bodies, folks. Mm-hmm. You know, and yes, there's all this historical, cultural, religious stuff that the body's bad and the thing is to overcome the body and all that. But what if that's not true? What if the body was here to have fun? What if the body was your enjoyable other? You know, and you could, and what I've really found is that people never truly step into being them until they begin to create a relationship with their body. A really nice one. So I always talk about that, and I usually run access bars. You know, we see what works for different people. For some people, it's like just being in nature, which incidentally, if you want to, people are like, what is a world with no judgment? You want to know about a world no judgment? Go into a forest or a field where there's basically no people because nature has no judgment, and preferably go in with a dog, you know, or you know, observe the birds or the squirrels or whatever, because that is the energy of no judgment. And I often ask people to do that, to just go, whatever works, find a way to be in nature or with nature. And that's also very healthy. It's very healing for the body because your body essentially doesn't have any judgment. It's us who pour all the judgments onto our bodies.
Totally. So, yeah, the body is actually, when I did practice therapy, that's what I did, was body-centered psychotherapy. And
cool.
Yeah, and it was so, you know, there was a more question and all of that in that work. But what was so cool about it is that, I mean, that those were the tools I had at the time that actually really allowed people to get out of their minds. Like, the body is such an amazing, when you really have a space of communion with your body, it's so much easier to get out of our stories and out of our limitations and stop actually believing the mind.
Right.
And you, like, your body can contribute so much awareness to you and, you know, just the space of communion that's possible it's such a healing space. And, you know, we tend to not want to do things that are not kind to the body. Like, when we have more of a communion with our bodies, we tend to be a lot kinder to them, you know, with them, and receive from them and contribute and just include our bodies in what we're creating, which is super, super dynamic for people. So yes, I would say, like, anything that you can do to include your body more, you're going to see that go a long way in terms of the ease that it can create in your world.
Absolutely. I did want to say, I do have a book if you'd like more information. It's called Right Recovery for You, and it's available on the Access Consciousness Shop. It's also available on Amazon in Kindle and soft copy. So, Right Recovery for You, Marilyn Bradford, if you're interested in more about what we've been talking about today.
Yeah, cool. And do you have a website or anything else coming up that you want to let people know about?
I do have a website. We're still constructing it, but it's also rightrecoveryforyou.com. Everything's spelled out. Mm-hmm. And I'd be happy to, if people want to email me, they can email me at marilynbradford@me.com. I'd be happy to talk with people. I love spreading this stuff around. I mean,
I know.
Hey, a different possibility.
Yeah, I mean, it's so required. Like, these areas are such, as we've been speaking about, just, there's just so much judgment around all of this stuff. And it's like, I would love to see a planet where people have really no judgment of themselves and each other and no wrongness. I mean, that just, what that can create for the world, for the planet, for consciousness, for all of us is pretty awesome. So
that would be amazing. Heather.
I know.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, I am really grateful for you, Marilyn. Thank you so much for everything that you be and do in the world. I always love chatting with you, and just grateful and looking forward to more.
Yeah, and thank you, Heather. It's a pleasure to be on your show, truly. I think what you're creating here is awesome.
Thank you.
Just every facet of going beyond the reality.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much. Have a great week, everybody. We'll be back next week with more. And whatever you do, don't have too much fun. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us today for Creating Beyond Reality. Make sure to join Heather Nichols again next Monday at noon Pacific and 9 p.m. Central European Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel for another adventure into the brilliance of you. Have an amazing week of possibility and creation.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.